And I'm Mike Thomas in for Frank Bonacquisti this morning.
As the four-way race for Deschutes County Commissioner heats up, the candidate's ability to cultivate relationships takes center stage. Judy Trago is the executive director of the Sisters Chamber and says she recently worked with state lawmakers to secure county funding.
Lobby for $15 million for the courthouse expansion, and we were successful in doing that when no one said we would get the money.
Incumbent Commissioner Phil Chang says he's also formed relationships in Salem, including work on an omnibus wildfire package.
That bill has now delivered over $10 million of funds for private land fuels reduction treatments in our community.
Small business owner and youth coach Rob Imhoff says he wants to build bridges between communities.
Doesn't matter if you're in business, doesn't matter if you're an athlete, doesn't matter if you're on a club or part of a group. The relationships you have, that's what gives you the benefit of the doubt and allows people to trust in your intention.
Former addiction counselor Brian Huntemer says he learned about collaboration in the military, but he wants most to listen to the people.
They're the ones that are affected by these decisions that we make.
For the first time, this is a nonpartisan race. If no candidate receives more than 50% of the votes on May 21st, the top two go to the November ballot.
Election offices around the country continue to struggle with attrition. A new report from the Bipartisan Policy Center shows a steady rise in turnover since 2000, largely due to increased workloads and job complexity. However, the center's Rachel Ori says new officials are not inexperienced. On average, they have around 8 years in top-level positions.
So when we see a turnover in a chief election official, it isn't always the case that someone new is coming in who doesn't know what they're doing. Rather, we see more often that it is folks with lots of experience in elections who are stepping into these chief roles.
Oregon's election staff turnover rate is in line with the national average, increasing from 33% in 2004 to 39% this year. Oregon Congresswoman Andrea Salinas has signed on to a resolution condemning a lack of action on immigration reform. She blames far-right Republicans for blocking recent efforts at a compromise.
This is a negotiation, and we almost had something coming over from the Senate that was put on the table in a bipartisan way.
Salinas says that recent bill died from former President Trump publicly opposing it.
It's now been almost 40 years since the last comprehensive immigration reforms were enacted. 40 years. There is no excuse for this kind of delay, especially not now when we're seeing a historic crisis at our southern border and families waiting in legal limbo for decades.
The congressional resolution also urges Congress to fully fund border resources in addition to a number of previously negotiated bipartisan immigration bills. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden used tax day to again push for passage of his bill to expand the child tax credit.
Senator Ron Wyden calls it the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act, and he says it's a bipartisan bill focused on working parents.
It ends the long-running discrimination against low-income families with more than one kid.
It also funds low-income housing production, and it increases an incentive for research and development he says benefits small businesses, especially innovative startups.
Many of them operate in fields where our economy competes directly with China and other countries around the world.
Wyden says those businesses will suffer if the bill isn't passed. It was approved by more than 80% of the U.S. House in January.
These days, you can't get 357 members of the House of Representatives to vote in favor of apple pie and sunshine. The bill came over to the Senate. It's now been sitting for 10 weeks.
Wyden says funding for the tax breaks comes from shutting down a pandemic-era tax program he claims is riddled with fraud. I-5 southbound was temporarily closed in Eugene Monday morning by demonstrators protesting Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. People waving Palestinian flags blocked the freeway near the Barlow Bridge. More than 50 people were arrested for disorderly conduct. Two were also charged with other crimes, and at least one person had a gun. OSP says the demonstration put drivers in danger along with the protesters who blocked the freeway. In addition to 48 state troopers, officers from Eugene and Springfield Police Departments and the Lane County Sheriff's Office responded to the incident.
The Early Learning Conference at COCC brings around 500 educators to the Bend campus next week. The college's Early Childhood Education Director, Amy Howell, says the focus is on designing and implementing instruction for STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
We see our professionals coming together, sharing their expertise, their experiences, their ideas, but also their passion. It's like being in a space where everyone shares deep values for children and families, and they're gaining a sense of inspiration and deep knowledge from one another.
She tells me teaching from preschool through third grade can have big impact on a student's long-term interest in STEM fields. The two-day Early Learning Conference is next Friday the 26th and Saturday the 27th. Spring is the time we start working outside around the house. But if that includes digging, there are precautions you should take.
Digging into a utility like an underground power line can be deadly. Oregon Utility Notification Center Executive Director Josh Thomas says it's important to know what's underground before you start digging.
Anything from a minor annoyance where you may lose your Wi-Fi or you may, hit a sewer line or something, but it can also be life-threatening. If you hit an electric line or if you hit a gas line, especially on a main, it can be catastrophic.
You should call 811 before you dig. It's a free service, and Thomas says you'll know what's underground.
You'll have one or more locators come out from the utilities, and some of them have in-house locators, some of them contract, and they'll come out and put different colored paint on the ground, and the colors of the paint correspond with the type of utility.
Last year, there were more than 1,400 reported instances where utilities were hit in Oregon, but that number is on the decline. Also last year, the 811 hotline received more than 342,000 requests.
The state of Oregon provides incentives to install electric vehicle charging stations. ODOT's Matt Noble says this is the second round of funding from the Community Charging Rebates Program.
People can apply to the program and they can get a rebate for most of the eligible costs for the project.
Charging stations need to be in publicly accessible locations like apartments, businesses, or public parking lots. About a month into this round of funding, Noble says they've awarded about half of the available $2.5 million.
So our program can cover up to 75% of eligible project costs, or from an actual dollar perspective, rebates can range from $3,500 up to $5,500 per charging port.
Applicants can come from anywhere in the state, but preference is given to rural and disadvantaged areas. ODOT will stop accepting applications July 3rd or as soon as funding runs out.